Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. We're going to finish this series today on Reap Your Harvest. And today I'd like to use the topic of soul plus water equals increase. Romans 15, now this is the text from our Romans Road devotional, our final text in our Romans Road devotional, Romans 15. And we'll begin here. Verse 1 says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." Now that's the final scripture in the devotional, and the topic really deals with the purpose of personal blessing. You know, why has God blessed us? Why has God given us so much? And it's appropriate because here on the last Sunday before I leave for Africa, that this would be the scripture we end the devotional with, because it's exactly where we are in our hearts and lives, where we have recognized that the tremendous blessing that we have received in our lives, the finances, the education, the gifting, the resources, the love and support of people, has put us in position to be a blessing to other people. Is that true? Amen. And when it says here, the text says that we who are strong ought to bear with the scruples, this version of the weak. The word scruples means it's a feeling of doubt or hesitation with regard to the morality or propriety of a course of action. Meaning that people who have scruples are people who are kind of indecisive. They're kind of up and down. They're kind of not clear on what they're supposed to be doing. And so, but we who are strong ought to help people who struggle like that. Because part of your role is to disciple, to encourage, to instruct, to teach, to help people find their way. And just thinking back on my life in ministry, I've helped a lot of people, and I've been helped by a lot of people, to eliminate scruples, you know what I'm saying? To go from a place of being unclear to becoming clear, from leaving that place of being unable to make a decision and find resolve to going to a place of being able to have resolve and make decisions. So that's part of our purpose, and part of the harvest you reap is the wisdom God has given you, you get to share it with somebody else. And if we're not helping somebody else become better, then what are we really doing? I mean, how much stuff can you get? We all need more money, you know, but is our money just to pay bills and just to have some fun and just, you know, I mean, why are we resourced by God? I believe we are resourced partly to be a blessing to other people. Amen. So the lesson goes on from there, and also the lesson talks about in our culture, the sentence says, there is an interesting dynamic in our culture called hedonism, which is defined as a school of thought that argues that pleasure is the primary and most important intrinsic good. A hedonist strives to maximize pleasure. So we are living in a hedonist, not heathen, like that lady, Aunt Esther said on Sanford. Not the heathen, I'm talking about hedon. Hedonism, a hedonist is trying to maximize their pleasure. Is that right? And that's in the world's culture. And that culture is kind of crept into the church as well, okay, somewhat. Where we look for pleasure, even in church service. So now I'm not saying God doesn't want to bless you and you shouldn't be blessed, but then we've kind of flipped this thing all the way around to where we've kind of lost some focus. Now, our next scripture text is in Corinthians, and this illustrates it even more. 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, and read the first part, kind of the bad news part, and the good news part comes later. But it says here, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and said, verse 1, "I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you're not able to receive it. And even now you're not able, for you're still carnal." Now, how are they carnal? How do they know this? He says, "For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Verse 4, and he says, further evidence. For one says, I am of Paul. Another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? So he identified the problem in the Corinthian church, and it really speaks to the thing of being the hedonistic, the pleasure-oriented part of us, the part that says, I want what I want, and only what I want. The Corinthians, they had lost perspective. And they were sowing and reaping, but not in the productive, godly way. Now, again, seed time harvest is always working. But make it work for us, not against us. Amen? Now, what happened is, so the Corinthians had become what we commonly call in our culture spectators. Now, you know, I'm a spectator of football. I'm a spectator of baseball. I'm a spectator of sport. I like sports. I played football. I did track and field. So I understand how the game is played on the field, but now I'm a spectator. And the thing about it is, when we are spectators, then the tendency is to also become a criticizer, right? The nature of spectating is to look at what's happening and judge it. Do I like it? Do I not like it? Is my team winning? Is my team playing up to, I think, their standards? You know, is this guy pitching the way I think he should pitch, even though I can't pitch at all? You know what I'm saying? Is that guy hustling out there, even though I haven't hustled at one thing in my life for 15 years? So spectating is, you know, obviously we criticize our teams. But as Christians, we don't want that spectating spirit going on. And the Corinthians had fallen into this spectator thing. They made the church almost like a sporting event. To the point where, you know, when we have our, as spectators and fans, we have our favorite teams. We've got our favorite players, don't we? We have our favorite music and bands in the world. But see, that same spirit can come over into the church where we've got our favorite church, favorite preachers, and favorite whatever. Well, I understand we have preferences, but if we're going to be people who are living on point and on purpose for God, we don't want to be hedonistic and try to maximize pleasure over serving God's purpose. Amen, somebody? Say, I want to serve God's purpose in my generation and in my time. And so it said, once I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And Paul said, now listen, y'all just carnal. That's carnal. That's you're being led by your flesh, by your emotions and so forth. We don't want that. Amen. We don't need that. We weren't built for that. Again, Romans 15 said that you who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. And not to please ourselves, but let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to what? Edification. That's the Christianity that we really ought to point to and look at. Although I know it's, you know, we have this culture thing going on. Now, we also see in our time that we expect things to happen instantly. We want instant gratification. We want things to happen, you know, like right now. Now, listen, y'all, except God does a miracle, it's not going to happen right now. Whatever you expect God to do, unless it's a miracle, thank God for miracles, too. Everything else would come as a result of process. Say process. So in Genesis, we read last 3 weeks, Genesis 8, for as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. That is a process. We showed a video last week of how to grow tomatoes and how to grow potatoes. And so we learned that there's always a process. Obviously, it's babies being conceived and the gestation process. And it's all, everything's a process, y'all. Your education, your training. I mean, the work you do now that you do so well, you didn't begin doing it, you know, overnight. You know, we see somebody here, he's an overnight success. No, you just saw him today. You haven't seen that person and what they did to be prepared for what you call an overnight success, you know. Now, these things we know are obvious. But it looked like, though, we have not fully grasped the concept of process in our Christian lives and as I work as believers in God's church. And so that we don't want to be people reduced to spectatorship. We don't want to be people who are saved by Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and yet we're stuck up in the stands watching other people do things. You know, God said that in the last days, you would do exploits. Say, God has called me. Say, God has called me to do exploits. Now, exploits aren't always things everybody sees and knows about or that make you famous. I mean, exploit, just being in prayer and supporting someone and encouraging someone when they're down, that's an exploit too. The going to Africa isn't the only exploit people are going to do, amen? So there's all kind of ways in which we're going to serve God's purpose. But instant gratification is not what God is doing. And the most of the best things in life have come as a result of a process. Matter of fact, a lot of stuff you did at the spur of the moment, that's what caused your heartbreak. The things that we agreed to and signed up for, yeah, I'll take that, sign the dotted line, that's the stuff we regret. Without the things without process have caused us such heartbreak. But looking back over your life, you can evaluate everything that came from process has resulted in the best that you have in your life. Amen? Say process.
Process.
You know, a certain brother who will go unnamed wanted to add a little color to his hair. Something I cannot criticize. But the brother showed up with black fingers. The brother didn't have process. They got gloves in the box for a reason. You got to use the glove. The gloves will keep your hands and your fingers from getting black. And that brother should go unnamed. I'll give you initials and I'll leave them alone, okay? But there's process. Now, I'm not criticizing for a little color in the hair. I can't criticize, like I said. But here's the point about it. Process. And if we circumvent the process, I'll tell you, we always end up with some regret, whether a little or a lot. Amen? So we must recognize and thank God that as long as the earth remains, there's this heat, cold, summer, winter, day and night, seed time and harvest, it won't cease. Now, when the earth ends, when this era ends and we're in heaven, process would be a lot different, if at all, because, you know, God doesn't have to train us like he does down here. We require constant training. Amen. I mean, and retraining. Amen. Don't we?
Amen.
That's why we don't take off from prayer. We don't take off from reading the word. We don't take off from church. We don't take off from the things that God said, because we need everything that God's offered us in that process. Say, in the process. Now, I'm going to get on these flights on next Sunday. From here to Detroit, Detroit to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Nairobi, Nairobi to Eldoret. And every pilot and co-pilot has been through a process. Amen? Obviously, you don't want anybody, flying the airplane who has not had the process of training and is doing the constant updates and retraining. Same for your drivers and same for people, whoever, your doctors. We know this is so obvious to us. But why do we look differently sometime at the things of God? And I may be so bold, and I will be so bold. You know, we even think that to run for political office is easy. Just sign up. If Obama can do it, anybody can do it. You know, maybe it's the mindset. I mean, the fact is, even though people think bad of politicians, you must understand something about politicians. They have considerable skill and experience. Don't let anybody poison your mind about what it takes to be a mayor, to be a governor, to be a city county councilman, to be on a school board. Come on, somebody. To be in charge of public instruction, to be a governor or a president, a senator. That is not an easy job. And it takes people who are very smart, who are well-read, who are good listeners, who study subjects, to understand what it takes to get those jobs done. It takes what? A process. A process. And so obviously we're going to elect, you know, people, a president and others next week. But it's important to recognize that you know, we are sitting here in a safe country. We're safe here. And I'm going to other safe. I'm not going anywhere unsafe. My point, though, is America is as safe and as strong as any place in the world. And we're able to live free. We have electric grids. You know, if our lights go out, we like the lights out. In Africa, when lights go out, when lights go out, not if, when, you just carry on, you know. I mean, I couldn't, my first trip over, I'm like, every like four times a day, man, power's going out. And folk just keep on talking. I was in a hotel lobby and the place went pitch black for a minute, except for the window light. And folk just, nobody looked around. Nobody even paused in the conversation. Like, I'm like, hey, man, your light's out. Like, just stay around a while. You'll get used to it. We don't have that problem here. We upset when the lights go out for, you know, a half hour. You know, it is, or it's a crisis if it's a whole day, you know. But my point is, people in public service, in public life, politicians, community servants, first responders, all these folk who are paid by the government, whether local or state or federal, are responsible for all these things going on. And, you know, I went on the south side of town. Well, we at the wedding yesterday and at the rehearsal on Thursday, and I drove back up 31 and just saw all the things that have changed. You know, I don't ever go to the south side. I'm on the north side, right? You know, south side, north side, different deal. So I drove up the streets, city streets, to see what's happening. I live in the city all my life, and I am surprised at the changes and the improvements. That when you go down some streets or some highway interchange, and the highway is all different, they planned that 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I mean, the point is, people who are in public service, it's their job to be responsible for infrastructure, to look ahead, to think ahead, plan ahead. And so people in those positions also are responsible, you know, for the military and for the internet situation, for keeping our networks safe. You know, when Russia hacked our internet, we hacked them back. Somebody did that, and they were authorized to do it. In other words, you don't want to mess with us. Do not mess with us, the USA. Because even though politicians don't need to talk about it and shouldn't talk about it, they got stuff under here. Ain't nobody seen. You know what I'm saying? You hear about the things we have, the stealth bomber. But there's other stuff you have no idea that's over there, sitting over there. My point is, we need people up there who understand process, say process. And people in our community who are serving and leading, people in military, we need people who had experience in serving and being a part of process, who understand what it means to come out of a process and respect people who are in the process now. Listen, you can't become something and not respect those who are already there doing it. We cannot expect, even however God uses you in your life, you can't expect to be a teacher. You don't respect teachers. You can't respect, we can't expect to become anything we don't respect already. Respect is fundamental to the process of serving. Y'all believe that? So the bottom line is, listen, I mean, I'm going to a country that is stable. Kenya is stable. But the lack of really good leadership has led to the lack of development. For example, when I was in Nigeria, I remember this distinctly, between two trips, I had about a two or three year window. We had to navigate the same chuck holes. The same chuck. I remember that that chuck hole was so big, the folk went out. Listen, y'all, the folk had to go off the road and go into the field. The chuck hole was so big, they had to divert off the road and go into a field and detour and come back to the road. And that was a hustle. What happened? So some Nigerians set up a roadblock and charged a toll to go through the field with two pieces of wood. They only asked for, like, you know, a dime, quarter, an equivalent. They'd raise the particular wood. People was paying them too. Truck drivers, all. It was hilarious. It was unbelievable that we're actually in this field and they got a makeshift toll booth going on here with pieces of wood because the road is all messed up. And we came back to the road, was still messed up. So we don't have that problem here, y'all. Listen, they at least patch the chuck hole and patch the patch. And the patch gets patched. And it's bumpy, but at least it's patched. Come on, somebody. At least you can go through there. We upset about it. There's too many patches here. Well, go with, let me show you chuck holes. And then when it rains, do not dare drive your car on that road. You don't know what is under that water. You see water, and when it rains over there, it is instant flash flood. There is no drainage. There's no sewage, no drains, the water goes. Here, we got these big underground, you know, concrete, you know, pipes and things. And so when it rains, the water goes into the drain. It goes under. Now, if it rains a whole lot, the drain gets full. And the road floods. Over there, if it rains at all, something is going to be flooded. Now, my point is, say process. You need to pay attention and do not get caught up in mind games. The only qualification, the only real qualification for a politician is, can he or she do the job? That's what matters, not what they believe, not their Christian doctrine. Can he or she do the job, the overall job that's required of a public servant? Do they understand the process? Amen, somebody? All right, so I'm going to say about that. But it does speak to our perspective as believers that if we do not respect the process and recognize the power of seed, time, and harvest and participate, then we miss out on the best that God has. Now go to 1 Corinthians 3. Here's the good news part. The good news part. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we are in the business of performing in the sense of doing God's will in the service of blessing people. So then we talk about being spectators, watching teams perform. Yeah, we watch a performance. I'm performing now, but not in a theatrical sense. That is, I'm performing by, you know, preaching and teaching the word of God. And as a performance, not in an entertainment sense, but as a sense of doing God's will, did I come up here prepared? Yeah, I'm prepared. All that didn't happen when I got up this morning. That's been like several days of working in preparation. Now, I don't understand why, you know, sometimes we misunderstand as a church, as Christians, how we just show up. The old saying was, open your mouth, God will fill it. Well, yes, but what's in your heart? So say process. So then we are people then who are not like the Corinthian church that Paul had to criticize because they had to be given milk and not stronger things because they couldn't handle it because they were too focused on things that kept them from having a stronger foundation. Well, we have a good foundation in Christ, don't we? We have a strong foundation in the Word of God in this ministry. But don't underestimate the importance of process. Please understand. Please hear that. If you hear nothing else, please don't underestimate or fail to enter into and allow process to bring forth in your life what God has. But all right, our text. 1 Corinthians 3 and 5. So then the question was earlier then, you know, you say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. Paul said, look, who then is Paul? Who am I? Who then is Apollos? Who are we? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. There we are. So we're not saying that we're not some spectator sport where, hey, my man was MJ, my man is LeBron, my man was Kobe, you know. I'm Kyrie now, whoever. It's always guys coming down the pike. But if we focus only on the people, we miss the overall purpose. And even to this day in sports, we celebrate those who excel, but everybody in the game knows, they will tell you, when the game, now we may tout and brag on LeBron. LeBron will tell you it's these guys right here and those coaches over there that made this happen. He'll tell you that himself. Now, we see it differently, but the people who are in the game, they will tell you, it's not about me. I did my part. I carried my load. I may have more ability, but hear me. He says, no, it's not about me. So Paul is saying, not about me. Now, Paul did more than anybody in his day. Paul could have said it's about me. Paul knew it because even though he was greatly gifted and graced as an apostle, he knew all my gifting and grace aside, I couldn't do nothing without all of us together. So he said, then, who are we? We're ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. Verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, there's the whole model right there. That's the whole deal right there. That's the whole plan of God for us in service in a nutshell. One of us, some of us plant or sow. Others of us water what has been sown. But who gives the increase? Only God. Now, that's the perspective we need to return to and have and hold. Now, he who plants and he who waters is one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. All right, so then when you plant, when you water, you have one purpose. But now, God does still recognize what you actually do. But in terms of the impact that we have, it's all about what we do together. So then, according to our text, we're doing one of two things. Either we are planting, or we say plant or sow, or we water or support. Now, in your mind right now, just think in your mind right now, just think on this point. Here's the first question for you to think on, ponder right now. In what ways have you planted or sown? And that goes to many levels, not just in terms of outreach ministries, not just to, like, you know, mission trips, but even just today, how did you plant or sow? Well, we prayed one for another. You encouraged someone when you came in the door today. I mean, you've done something to just, you spoke a word of greeting. You maybe embraced and hugged someone in a loving greeting. You know, of course, you're going to give an offering later and such, but how, just today, how have you sown or planted? You know? And then think about the second part is, then how then have you watered or supported today or, you know, in the recent past? Because either we are putting something in somebody or we're encouraging something already in them. Amen? That's a deep revelation. You can write that down if you want. We're either putting something good and godly in people, or we are supporting what is already in them. Now, the third option is doing nothing, but it's not an option. And God's plan, not sowing and not watering are not options, viable options, because what supports the harvest, you see, what makes the harvest come up is what you sow. And what you water is what causes a harvest to come up. The farmer can have a big giant field that's empty or full of weeds if he hasn't sown into it. And if he has sown and hasn't cultivated, it may be, you know, a failed harvest or very weak looking plants when they come up. So then, you know, saints of God, this is very simple, but very profound. That we as a people of God want to continue to be strong in the Lord, to help bear with the infirmities and weaknesses of the weak. We want to do this not to please ourselves, because the thing is, you won't please yourself a whole lot working with people who can't give a whole lot back to you. That will wear you down. I mean, the thing is, the reason why we seek oftentimes these you know, networks and such, and I respect the reason for those things, we want to be a part of something where folk can give a whole lot more to me. But the idea really in Christ is you already have a lot. Matter of fact, you're complete in Christ Jesus. Amen? So you don't go out here looking for anything from anybody. Really? Think about it. I don't need anything from anybody in Africa. Not one single thing from anybody over there. Now, what I'm going to get, though, certainly is love and encouragement and blessing. But I'm not going over there to get anything. I'm not going over there to work some kind of deal and get some money out of them people. Now, some people go over there for that purpose. I'm not doing that. So then he says that let us each please, in Romans 15:2, let us each please his neighbor for his good. I don't please you for my good. Sometimes that's the game, right? That is, you know, I go into the store and the salesman called me, hey, friend, come on, man. He wants to please me for my good? I don't think so. Come on, friend. Hey, friend. And then sometimes they call you, these women call you honey. I tell them, you're not my honey. I tell them. That's poor training. That's a poor training for a salesperson, clerk, call the customer honey. You know, it happens. You know, guys experience that sometimes. Call you honey. The waitress, I don't want to insult, but really and truly, you're no way close to being my honey. Ain't no way, no how. But the point is, people do things to please you, hear me, but it's not for you. It's for themselves. People do stuff and want to get a picture with you. It's for them. It's not for you, it's for them. So understand that spirit and recognize that we're called to a higher place than that. Let each of us please his neighbor for his neighbor's good. Leading to what? Building up. Building up. Edification. So our goal is to edify, to build up. And this is part of our harvest. The harvest, we talked last time, yes, I get a lot of personal blessing. God has blessed me with a lot of good things, things I need to have, things I wanted, you know, things to enjoy. But more than that, there's the blessing of being a part of doing something for people that builds them up. And I tell you, I'm hooked on that. I'm really hooked on that. I have been since, you know, I was 20, in my 20s. I mean, I can never get past, I can't see life differently than the way I've been seeing it for 40 years, that everything I have is to help somebody. My children first, you know, family. Now, they're all grown up. They're doing great. And now I just can't stop. Reap your harvest. Sow. Water. And then God brings the increase. Amen, somebody? Are you sowing? Are you sowing? Are you watering? That's all I'm asking. You know, I'm not trying to be heavy with you. I just want to be real with you. I want you to be clear on what God expects of us. Despite what the culture, despite the hedonistic culture, despite what the church culture is saying, church is, it is what God said it is. And that we are full of expectation. We're full of joy and our worship and fellowship together and all that's great. We do have fun and just have enjoyment and rest and relaxation, R&R. Absolutely have that. We need that. But when do we get back to the work of God? When do we allow God to continue to help us to help other people? Because that's what Jesus did for me. Jesus sowed into my life. And Jesus waters my life. He never stopped. Every day. You know, when you get up in the morning and you open your eyes up and you wake up and you're aware of your breath, and that was a gift of God. That's just life itself. Amen. Getting up and once you, the cobwebs, you know, I was going to say, you get up and you're thinking. Well, actually, no, you get up and you try to think. But when you really get to thinking straight, you know what I'm saying? In fact, it's going to happen in Africa. It happens every time I go to Africa is I wake up and look around like, where am I? What is this? You know, I mean, you know, it happens, you know, it happens. And it's weird, too, but it's weird, like, oh, okay, I'm in Africa. Oh, my goodness. And then it hits you. I'm in Africa. I'm like, oh, my, where's my wife? Way over there? Oh, my goodness. So those things come. But when you have, there's no way I'm going over there without a very strong call of God to sow into water, right? It's not a vacation. I wouldn't go without my wife that far, you know, without having clear purpose. So I'm asking us to accept. Now, those who are here today, you already, you know, I'm kind of preaching to the choir somewhat. But I want us who are the committed people of God to pray for and encourage everyone that you know in Christ to please continue to sow, continue to water. You know, don't get caught up in this hedonistic pleasure-seeking lifestyle. Do good for others, not just to please yourself, but to please them. Amen? And by that, I believe we'll continue to glorify God and we'll change this world and make it a better place. I think about, well, I see a field over there in Freetown Village, and, you know, I think about everything that God has used her to do, and now her daughter does and other people do. And I mean, it's a tremendous thing. Freetown Village is a tremendously beneficial movement and organization, all right? I mean, sowing and watering in that context. I mean, all of us have done that one way or another. Not saying always is as grand of a scale as a church or a media camp or a mission trips or a Freetown Village. But in some way, I promise you, God has something for you to do. I'm only asking you to evaluate. Where am I? Where am I in this process of sowing and watering and reaping? Where am I? Where am I? Say, where am I, Lord? Yeah, he'll show you. And you may already know. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for encouraging your people today that the harvest we seek and the harvest we're experiencing isn't only the harvest of things that we want for ourselves, for we have need. We do need money and resources and shelter. We need all those things. And as Jesus said, Lord, you provide all those things. Those things we know we need, but all the Gentiles seek those things. But you said we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to us.